this podcast. One day, I was smoking strange when I met a penguin. Goddamn it, he was deranged. We were talking soccer, then it all fucking changed. I saw him press record and uploaded to his page. On that deranged penguin, for an Antarctic bird, he should talk Spanish. For that deranged penguin, he made me an unwilling victim of his podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Deranged Penguin Podcast is coming to you on podcast delay, as usual. Your friends here, located in San Antonio, and we have some callers. Caller, please identify yourself on the red sofa. Caller?
Hi, my name is Brad.
Yeah? How you doing, Brad? You sound sexy.
I feel a little buttery.
You sound real buttery.
Calling in from Arkansas this evening.
Arkansas, woo pig.
Yeah.
How many times have you called?
A lot of woo pig around this neighborhood.
Yeah. Really?
I have never personally called the Hogs, so I can't really speak. I hear, but I will say also, not a whole lot of like the chant. I don't even know. Is it a chant? Is it a call? I don't know, because people just say woo pig.
It's, yeah, I don't know the full thing.
Around, really?
Hey, woo pig.
I've never heard that.
Sure. Okay.
Fuck you, call me. We have another caller also, you might have heard him, caller in the blue shirt with the Bieber cut from 2009. How's it going?
My name is Dell. I am calling in from Mississippi.
Sweet. So, do you do this Garth impersonation like your whole life? Is that what you do?
It's kind of my running thing. You know? Sweet. It's how I make my living.
Sweet.
Garth for hire.
Anybody, you look like a Wayne to my Garth. That'd be a good pickup line. You should do that.
There you go. That was how Valentine's went for me.
Yeah, could pick me up. I would. Yeah. Gina, how you doing? Here in the studio.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm doing well.
What are you doing?
Sitting mostly.
Sweet. Ladies and gentlemen, Terrain Penguin Podcast, and we're happy to be with you again. On this fine podcast episode. What episode are we? 192?
Nobody even knows.
We don't know.
I was going to say 194. I think it's
mostly because you made me scrap my notebook like 20 episodes ago.
Make you do anything.
Ever what since then, dick. We stopped counting.
Hey, so we're going to get started podcasting right now. I do have some follow-ups, and then I also noticed this thing here, and I wanted to ask you about this, Brad.
What?
So just quick answer. We don't need a diatribe. We have this book of firsts for our kid that we had. And we're having trouble filling it out. Like, we had month 9 or 10, we're like, fuck, what happened month 1? We're supposed to write something new and whatever. Mm-hmm. Did you guys were going to do something like that for your first kid, right? Where you, like, put in a leaf every day and then write them a poem.
Yep.
But, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you do that?
Yep. No.
How far along did you give up?
We did the same thing. We bought the book. We bought, you know, we're going to do all this shit book. And we fucking
didn't do it.
Put, you know, they give you this gaggle of papers and like items and shit at the hospital, and you get home and you haven't slept in 14 days and you realize you still have a backpack full of shit. So you take out all the papers, you open the book to some random page, you jam all the papers in that page, close the book, top shelf of the closet,
and it's done.
Never see it again.
Well, until like the kid's 16 and they need their social security number, and you're like, oh, here it is, right here. There it is. Now you can apply for a job.
Yeah, so we still have the book with none of the shit filled out. I did.
And your kid's how
get
old now?
A journal.
17?
Four. Question mark. Period. She's 4. I did get a journal, and I do regularly write to her, all of them. They each have their own book.
That's good.
So, yeah, maybe like once every 3 or 4 weeks, I'll like write a note like, hey, you shat your pants today, or, you know, hey, you give me a fucking high five and it was a really good one, or whatever. But I'm not, I was really not.
One thing I noticed about this book is that it's a real easy way to steal her identity.
Yeah, it asks like, for everything.
Like, one page is like, what's your mother's maiden name? And the next one is like, what's your social security number? You know, I'm like,
what's your favorite?
What is your home address? I was like,
deposit
this is
a hair sample.
Yeah, this
where did
is
you meet your spouse?
Well, yeah, like then there's like the fingerprints and the thumbprints. I was like, this is We're totally giving away all her secrets.
My little identity. My little stolen identity book.
Yeah. So last week we did a show. Or not last week. 2 weeks ago. We do this bi-weekly now in case anybody hasn't.
In case you didn't know.
Yeah, in case I didn't know. I didn't know. I show up every week. And I'm like, man, they skip every other week. Nobody shows up. I don't get it. God, they suck. They must hate me. Last week's episode was 191. It's called Who Goes Trump? We talked to some Mad Max.
We're almost at 200, guys. I'm so excited.
How we're staying sane. We discussed the interview and Who Goes Nazi. That was a good episode.
Who Goes Nazi?
Go back. Listen to that. Yeah, also, we were talking, what were we talking about then? Mad Max and stuff like that? There was something there that was pretty good, and I can't think of it. I'll talk about it right now.
Just
I thought about it today, and I was like, should I write it down? Here's it again. I'm like, I'm going to remember it.
You never that do. Didn't happen.
I think 30 Rock referenced that Who Goes Nazi article. They?
Really?
But I'm pretty sure that episode happened before that article was reprinted.
Well,
because... Yeah. Well, Liz, at some point, she's talking, and she's like, oh, I would totally, she either says, I'd totally be a Nazi, or I'd totally go Nazi. Like, she has this revelation about herself, the way that she is, and she says that, and I was like, that's the only thing that makes sense is, like, a reference to that article. Maybe it's more common for people to read that than...
Maybe it's a common phrase.
Maybe.
Common phrase. it was a good episode. I laughed. I listened to it a little bit. Quality control. Maybe some narcissism.
It's the best.
Listen to it. Go back and listen to it. Let us know what you think about it. We talked about The Interview, which is a good movie. I liked that movie.
It was pretty good.
It could have been better, but it was okay.
Pretty good.
It could have been a little less Australian.
Yeah.
But like, other than that.
Yeah. Man, you really got to turn that shit up. Like, what the fuck are you saying?
Like, don't look away because you'll
yeah, like, focus
lose.
All the way in. Pause what? It. Look up a word. Oh, that's what? Australian slang.
What?
Continue. Yeah.
So, how many microphones out of 5 microphones do you give it?
Our podcast last week? I'll give it 5.
Yeah.
5.
Oh, no,
five.
The interview. Our podcast was perfect last week.
Yeah. The perfect episode.
The
one that we weren't, that nobody was here for except Adam. Right.
That's the ideal podcast. Just me sitting alone talking to myself. And then, how are you doing today?
The interview, I'd give 3.
Three microphones. Adam.
I give it 3. 3 out of 5.
Pretty
sounds good.
No bet.
It's good.
Have you guys been watching SNL?
Snell.
No, I've just watched the Sean Spicer
the clips of it.
Cold opens, yeah.
Yeah, that's mostly all I wanted to ask about.
Yeah, it was good. I like how...
Which, they're good. They're good. They're
I
not...
I like how it's affecting the White House. Like, God, what the fuck?
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck, guys? We're getting roasted on SNL. We need to have an emergency strategy session now.
It's sort of crazy that they've even commented on it to me.
Yeah.
Like, that is sad. Everybody gets made fun of on SNL. SNL, that's like a staple of their material. Is politics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I think what I appreciated. Wait, what are you pointing at?
I thought Del was about to say something.
You gonna say something, Del?
Yeah, just that they're even having, like, strategy meetings about whether to, like, Spicer was going to, like, reference the SNL skit in his first, like, press conference after he got destroyed the first time. And Trump was like, got pissed. Was like, no, you can't do that.
Yeah, like that was. It doesn't say that. Whenever like Barack Obama or any other presidents would like, you know, kind of hint that they had a life outside of presidenting, that was kind of funny because you're like, yeah, you're real so fucking so busy that any time you have to even dip in and pay attention to anything that's going on with us, like pop culture wise, like you watch an SNL episode or you watch some Game of Thrones, that's kind of cool and it's funny because like, yeah, you're real busy. But Trump doing it, you're like, what are you doing? Pay attention to the world,
everything.
You know, like everything else. It really is like the kid, you know, guy worked to bust his ass. And if he stops and checks his phone a little bit, you're like, whatever, man, this guy always produces. But then the other dude just does nothing. And then you just see him like, even if he just pauses to have lunch, you're like, look at it. Look at his ass having fucking lunch. He hasn't worked in 8 hours.
Wasting his time breathing.
Yeah.
God. Get to work.
Breathing's for closers.
Breathing is for closers. That may make my Facebook page. That's good.
Stealing drainage payment material. I'm
completely steal you that.
And win lots of money.
Yeah, you're gonna get lots of money from me.
I'm gonna get both the seat cushions on your couch. Did y'all see this? We didn't talk about this right now. I just thought this was funny. The Mr. Darcy actually was a nerd. Like, he was slopey like shouldered. He was pale because he never went outside. It made me laugh. I don't know. I never read Pride and Prejudice or any of the other Jane Austen books because I just get bored.
I didn't either, but I also thought that. So the article talked about like how Colin Firth in the miniseries Pride and Prejudice was like this heartthrob compared to, you know, the original Mr. Darcy.
Yeah, they said that he was like ripped. And I was like, what? When was Colin Firth ripped?
That's sort of what I was thinking too. I was like, I don't think Colin Firth has ever been a heartthrob. I mean, that guy is like a doughy sack of Englishmen. Just why would you be interested in that? I don't know how anybody. I don't know how he's ever slept with anybody.
Dude, you need to move to England, and then you would be, you know, a god. Turns out.
Yeah. Yes.
You're wasting your time in Arkansas, man.
We were talking about that phenomenon in Mississippi, though, and I think in the South in general is like girls go for like stockier dudes.
Yeah, yeah. If you're a fat dude, you're great. You can clean house, man.
Stocky dude. What?
Yeah, like not in shape dudes. Like just kind of like dad bods. That's what Mississippi women like to the extreme. I'm serious, man.
They know you'll be a good father.
I don't know about that. I think it's just that's what they see. Nope. So their concept of beauty or handsomeness is like, because that's the majority of men, and you know, you can even make the argument that men have never not have to try as hard because they keep the patriarchy more in line in the South. Like, I don't want to go that far, but
I think they even mentioned it in this article. But there is a thing that like women. Like, have to have different types, and like men's range of beauty is all kind of the same. It's like wide hips, big chest, you know, like plump, I guess, plumpy,
Not too tall. Like, that's sort of a consistent. Like, nothing above like 5'11", 6 feet.
But
you know?
women's range and what they think is attractive, they may be evidenced by the dudes in this podcast. It's all kind of, it's like a range. Like, someone like, I just like a short, socky dude. My mom apparently just really doesn't like short dudes. She's like, oh, short guy. Gross, man. Jeez, mom. Like, one, don't ever talk about things that you like. Two, don't tell me what you like. I don't want to hear that ever. God. But yeah, I mean, Gina, is this you being a resident woman? Is this... Does it hold up? Did you read this article? What do women like?
The one
like?
About Mr. Darcy or the one about...
Either one.
The range of types.
Yeah. Does the range of types hold up in your experience?
Yeah, it does.
Is that why, like, boy bands have, like, a range of dudes?
Yep.
It's, like, slightly gay-looking
like
one.
Like, five of them.
Stocky fat guy. Yep. Old guy.
Yeah, an old one.
Do you feel like
guys,
a range of types happens within you, too?
Yeah.
Like, during different phases of your life, have you been like, stocky guy, gay-looking dude?
Yep.
But hey. Guys have that, too. I mean, guys have...
looking through my photo.
I have friends who find people attractive who I'm like, there's no... I have no sexual romantic attraction to that person, that type of person, like body type.
Yeah.
It's just not for me. So,
yeah, I mean, it makes sense. But anyways, I think this is funny. Because like you slope
maybe
your
shoulder. Maybe I'll read Pride and Prejudice one day.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not in danger. I got a lot of time on my hands too.
I read the Cliff Notes when I was a senior in high school.
Any good?
The book was so boring that I read the Cliff Notes, and I read Wuthering Heights and didn't read Pride and Prejudice, and I made a way better grade on the Pride and Prejudice test than I did on the Wuthering Heights test. I liked Wuthering Heights. It was hard. It was hard to read, and I didn't like what I was reading. But the story is awesome. But it's awesome. Like Pride and Prejudice the story is boring, and it's written in a boring style. You know, like at least there is like intrigue and like danger and adventure in Wuthering Heights.
That sounds more interesting.
So,
but it's written like it's like classic. I don't know. One, it sounds sure, like it's to say it's a woman, literature. It's woman's literature. Like, but generally speaking, women appreciate Jane Austen's writing more than dudes. Yes. In the same way that dudes really appreciate Ernest Hemingway's writing. Like,
I was gonna say not reading.
But like you started reading some of Ernest Hemingway's things, and you're like, yeah, I just can't get into it, right?
Well, I read what?
Old Man in the Sea.
No, I haven't read that.
So good.
I haven't finished that. I'm terrible.
It's short. It's like 75 pages.
Jeez. Yeah, I know. Just never got through it.
You can knock it out really like
simplistically.
Yeah, it's short sentences. You know, you get to the point.
It's fine. I enjoy a good speed read.
like a burn.
So that was fun. That just made me laugh, and I was laughing at all these chicks that were like, "Oh, what? No, Mr. Darcy's always calling first to me." He's like, "Nah, it's always gonna change." The other thing I think was good was this Cost Disease post. I don't know what the hell SlateStartCodex.com is, but it was posted on there, and I think these guys are, I don't know what it is.
Is it Slate Star or Slate Star?
I think it's Slate Star
it's Codex. It's Slate Star Codex. I read about, I was like, what is this? Because it looked really arcane in a cultish site. And I was like, I gotta see.
Yeah, this guy's a doctor.
What kind of doctor?
So he writes about this thing from this economic point from a doctor's perspective. Now, I never met any doctors or pharmacists that
I like. I don't think he wrote that article. I think somebody else wrote it and he put it on there, though.
Yeah.
Maybe he wrote it. I don't know.
I think he wrote this one and then he linked to some other guys. But yeah, the whole idea of cost disease, let's define our terms, is that the cost of things goes up. And he was writing about basically our problems that we're having politically, kind of boiling down to reactions to a phenomenon that, you know, is happening without any solution. This cost disease thing. Like, higher education costs way more, like 5 times, 10 times as much as it did in 1975. And the two sides of the political spectrum are reacting to it very predictably. And he gives a nice little example. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head right here, so bear with me.
Even adjusted for inflation, that is.
Yes, yeah, even adjusted for inflation. He says, so imagine it was something like water, and which is not so hard to imagine because it's like the next frontier shit, right? He said, so like water just all of a sudden costs a ridiculous amount of money, right? Like $2,000 a gallon or something crazy. He said, well, you'd have the progressive people rightly saying, well, water is a right. Everybody should have access to water, clean water, and whatever. And then on the far right conservative side, they're like, well, back in my day, you know, people just, you know, just had water. And I don't like all these freeloading people just taking long, luxurious showers. What the hell's the problem? You know, like we need to test them, make sure they're deserving of this water and blah, blah, blah. All this other stuff, right? It's the same thing people are doing now. Got a college education. It used to be that, you know, you could go work at the Five and Dime and also pay for your PhD. And now you got to take out a few dozen loans, maybe, get a scholarship, something, and you still probably owe a couple $1,000s at the very least. It's not the same. It's not the same world. The economy's not the same. You know, getting a job with a college degree used to be, well, now I'm set up for life. I have a master's degree or I have a bachelor's degree. Now it's kind of like, well, good, you have a bachelor's degree. You can now be a janitor. So a lot of things are different. But one of the biggest problems is that college costs a lot of money. We don't know why. Why does college cost so much money? And he goes on to explain other things. Why does healthcare cost so much here? Like, what is the deal? It's part of the reason why we can't have good healthcare, why healthcare is such a big issue, because it costs so fucking much money here. And then he goes on and on and on, and I think it was a good post. Everybody should read it.
It's because of technology.
Well, he makes that point. He said, so cost disease is, do you want to describe the was it like the factory worker orchestra player example, Del? Did you read that part?
Was that one of the examples? No, I missed that.
So he starts out by saying, all right, assume for the sake of understanding this, being a factory worker pays out the same amount of money as being an orchestra player, right? So, you know, people will kind of be equally distributed amongst those things. Then some technology comes along, as Gina said, and makes it, you know, lowers the cost, or factory workers pay more money, right? That's what it was. And so more people start being a factory worker. And so the orchestra people have to pay more money to get you to come be an orchestra player. And so they need to charge more money to see the orchestra in order to pay these people to be orchestra players. And that's how even technology being able to make the factory workers more productive and get them higher pay means that orchestra shit costs more money, you know? Like, one affects the other. And you can apply that all over the place. So even though we're more productive, we're kicking ass, we can crank out more shit, we got more time, right? Like we were talking about a couple weeks ago, or about a month ago now. Everything costs more. What the fuck, guys?
As far as I cannot, I don't know. He also, okay, so the two that sort of resonated with me were the interest in higher education, which has gone up, you know, so many hundreds of percents in the last decades, and healthcare, obviously, because I'm in healthcare. And
inside the idea of healthcare.
I am inside the H of healthcare. And he gave a couple of possibilities for each. You know, he said that higher education could be because there's a dearth of administrators who now take up a lot of salary room that were not previously there. There are a lot of amenities available to undergraduates that were not always available to them. People didn't always have rock walls. People didn't always have an omelet bar that was open 24 hours a day. But that he also says, and rightfully so, that I don't know that any of this stuff necessarily enriches your college experience. And regardless of whether you want it or not, it's been figured into your tuition and you're pretty much required to pay for the shit. And I feel like that sort of hit higher education spot on. I mean, I think if there was a bargain basement college that I could have gone to that had decent credentials, because I think credentials are the other thing you got to think about on the back end. Like, is anybody going to recognize this as an actual degree?
Yeah, because it makes a great point there. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like, and I mean, to me, a Western Civ class is a Western Civ class. Like, just because I'm paying $5,000 a credit hour here doesn't mean that the community college is going to offer me, or the bargain basement university is going to offer me a different fact. You know, they're all giving you the exact same information. And I mean, to me, the credentialing is really the only important point. I would gladly pay less for my graduate degree.
Yeah, well, I think just quickly in response to those things, and I don't want to dominate this whole episode with all this stuff, but I feel like that deserves a response there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. You can see the differences. It would be great if they were all, like, one is one is one. A math class is a math class is a math class. But I know from experience that, I forget what year it was. I was taking cost accounting in college. And I mixed up the days that the test was going to be on. So I actually showed up on a Thursday, ready to take the test, and the test was actually on Tuesday. And I had to actually skip Tuesday because I needed to get my card looked at. And whatever, it was my fault. I didn't look at it right. And so I basically failed the class because of that, even though like we only had like two tests. So that was it. So I was like, fuck. So I was like, instead of taking it again next semester or paying the university cost, I'll just take it at the community college. Same class. Done. And so I was taking it at university, and it was a challenging class, and I felt like I was learning a lot about cost accounting. Took it at the community college, and I felt like I got stupider. I was like, this guy, he's not even teaching that great. Everybody's here just like, please just check a box. You know what I mean? It was like,
yeah.
There was a change. It was cheaper, and I got a cheaper education. You know what I mean? Like, I didn't learn anything.
Yeah. That
luckily, I took 2/3 of a regular cost accounting class that actually, you know, I felt like I gained some knowledge. But it counts the same. I went to the university. And I was like, here's my cost accounting credit from the community college. And they're like, all right, sweet. Here's your bachelor's degree. Good on you. Thanks for playing this game. So
yeah.
I think, you know, it's higher quality. And, you know, I don't know if that's always applicable. Like if I went to Harvard and that cost accounting class is going to be more especially tough. I don't know. Because we can't compare all of them. And not everybody accepts all of them as the same. Some people go, still, oh, this person went to Harvard and they're super smart. And other people go like, well, this person went to State University and they're, what does that produce? But, we've all seen the dumbass Harvard people and the really smart State U person. So, like, how can you tell? How can you always tell? I don't know. And that fear makes people say, fuck it, I still got to go to State U. Even though they're increasing tuition because whatever. And because there's even more pressure to get credentialed, to get a job in a, you know, credentialed economy that you're like, good.
And that's the point is he does explore those things, but his real point is like, what is causing them to, so they're saying we charge more money because we can, right? But what is driving that, and how long is that? How long does that last, and how does that work? And like I've seen it in my lifetime, a $60,000 a year job was worth about the same, like considered as good when I was young as it is now. You know, a $60,000 a year job, everybody says is, oh, that's still a pretty good job. That's a good job, man. But I've seen a Happy Meal or a number one at McDonald's go from $4 to $8, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But a $60,000 a year job is still considered the same level of prestige, the same level of achievement, the same level of, you know, that's a good income to make. So what's causing, if that's the baseline and $60,000 just doesn't buy as much, but it's still the same. Like if you got a job doing something for $60,000 a year and you got the same job 20 years ago, you would still be making $60,000 a year, right? And I think that's one of the biggest issues is that things cost more, but nothing is pays income
increasing at the same rate.
Right, but somebody's getting the money.
Yeah,
somebody's getting the money.
Yeah, it's the rich. So people, who? Rich people are still getting more money.
Okay, the tax. So that's the reality, right? And he says he's very, you know, neutral about it, and he ends it with like, I don't know, you know, this is scary, but I don't know what the answer is or what's causing it. But to me, it is obvious. It's obvious. It's government and the top.
If you go read 100%. Thomas Piketty, he says that like what it's all kind of going to the same people and they're owning more land and that money doesn't even move around. You're like, where's all this money going? It's going back to them and they're kind of holding it. They're not really putting it back out there. Like so
I
that
think
way
that's part of it. The only other thing that I can't help but think has something to do with it is
immigrants.
The fact that there are more people. I feel like as the population expands, there's got to be some like sort of an adjustment that. Like on a per person basis, even if it's like federally regulated, that the Fed doesn't play like some quantitative game that sort of spreads things differently.
No, you know, you're right. It does dovetail into that.
I don't know how to explain what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I could tell.
Except to say that there's some like component of population expansion that affects those numbers.
If they're like, okay, so if there are five people and there's this amount of money to go across everything, and this amount of resources for everybody. So everything costs this amount of money, and there's this much money to go around.
Right.
If 10 people, there's still only the same amount of resources to go around.
Right.
And so, but those resources now are worth twice as much because they have to be spread among half the number of people. Right.
Right.
Some way. Like, not, it's not a one-to-one thing, but it,
yeah.
But in a simplistic sort of way. So yes, population increase, there are more people to do the jobs.
Yeah.
So you don't have to pay those people as much because there are more people that are an option.
Right. But it's also like sort of the fictitious value of money to begin with. Because in your scenario, sure, like, yes, the resource itself costs more, but we also have the ability to produce more money. So like each of these five people is making $60,000. You know, so I think that the federal government has the ability to be like, well, I'll just give all 10 of them $60,000 and just double the cost of that shit and let's see what fucking happens. You know,
maybe, man. I mean,
and I'm not saying they specifically, you know, again, on like some
sinister. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think that they do different they employ different financial methods to make sure that we all sort of stay in our place. They don't want they don't want us to freak the fuck out and just like start looting. You know, well, I really think.
I mean, yeah, there's always those things there, and I mean, I think on one end you could say like they just want us to buy stuff, man, so that way they can control us, right? Keep us spending, keep us in debt, and yeah, but it's also like it's not really some guy thinking it up. Like let's make them all spend shit. It's like some people actually believe this shit. They actually think this is good for the economy. We all spend and whatever. There's like lots of books and theory on it and whatever. But yeah, there's policy that's made encourages certain types of economic activity. And, you know, Gina, you can talk about this, like the way that we encourage or discourage certain types of land use means that certain people have to live a certain amount of distance away from things. And that changes your whole, it gives you a different set of cards to be dealt. You want to talk a little bit about that? Like living downtown, living in the suburbs and highways and byways, the limits on,
I mean, nah. I don't mean to leave you hanging. I'm not sure I can jump in and say exactly how that relates to.
Well, okay. Well, just can you? About. I mean, you know a little bit about like the history of housing policy, right?
Yeah.
Or even building the highways and stuff. Like, what is it encouraged? What has changed?
People moving out to the suburbs, which strains resources, but I don't know. I guess I was thinking more about the money and distribution of that thing, so I'm not really on the train of thought with where this contributes to.
All right. Well, yeah. So what I'm thinking of is, so like, say for example, right now, where's the easiest place to go buy a house, right? If I have $250,000 in my hand, right, I'm like, where can I buy a house? I want to get a mortgage. Where am I going to get $250,000 house at? Like, great, we have a little place outside of town, like right out here. It's in the suburbs, nice schools, whatever, crime rate's low. You're like, okay, cool, I'm going to get way the fuck out here. And you're like, sweet, where do I get a job? Jobs all across town, 35 minutes where you've been working. You haven't really been able to move, so you got to drive out there. It's like, okay, well, that changes your whole life equation there. Now you got to wake up at a certain time, drive way the fuck through traffic. That means you need a car. That means you need to maintain your car. That means you need to live this whole suburban lifestyle thing there, right? You're like, fuck, I need to get groceries. Where am I going to get groceries? Luckily, the grocery store, Piggly Wiggly, I don't know what place they got in Arkansas. Like, don't worry, we'll be out here, also out here in the town. So if I'm a poor person, and I'm like, you know, the only job I can get right now, or maybe I'm young, or maybe I'm old, trying to get second income, whatever the case may be, you need this grocery store job. Where are you going to live? Where are you going to work? You need to go drive out there to go work at the Piggly Wiggly, right? So you need to get two buses to get way the fuck out there to work a shitty job. And it is a shitty job. Like, I mean, you know what I'm saying? It changes everything. You put people closer together, and some of those things are eliminated. The pollution, the road maintenance, the spread of the resources, the fire resources. Now that
the parking decks, the need for the cars. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of shit that just goes down.
But you know who doesn't want that, right? then this is where you're like, oh, they just want you to keep doing this. Was like the KB Homes. You think the guys that run KB Homes or those guys are going to be excited about that idea, saying, you know what, let's not build so many suburbs, man. Let's keep it in town. They're like, oh, but this creates jobs. What about the builders? What about the guys that build houses? And we're like, yeah, they need jobs, but they don't need that job. Like,
yeah.
And that's the problem you run into things, is that you're doing things because it helps keep it going.
I'm always bothered. Yeah. I'm always bothered by people who do things because they want to keep jobs.
Right.
But no, you fucking don't. You do this because you want to keep making money and putting jam in your wallet full of cash without more effort. It's like the same thing with the oil versus the electric car conversation that's been going on for like the last 15 years. Like, all these motherfuckers at Chevy and GM and Exxon and Chevron, they don't, it's not about, oh, well, we need to keep our people employed. There's a lot of fucking work to be done. You can produce battery. You can produce other kinds of energy. But you just don't want to put forth that effort and that investment in that industry. That's it's fine to just say, we just don't want to do that shit. But it's not about, we want to keep our people employed. It's not.
Yeah, the life cycle of a business is just that. That you know, like, it goes full circle. You go from, I'm going to break and I'm going to disrupt things, right? When they were thinking about this gasoline engine, you know whose industry they were fucking up? The horse people, right? People that make carriages. Yeah. They're like, what the fuck, man? I sell these horses so people can have, you know, can ride them and shit. This is a good riding around horse right here. They get this one, got some new AC in it. It's fucking great. You know, like, so they kicked that guy out of a job, you know. Ford out here is making cars and shit, fucking people's lives up. But then they get on top of the heap, and now they turn into protectionism. They're like, let's not fuck with our shit, right? We got a good thing going. Everybody has jobs. Don't fuck with shit. So, yeah, I mean, and I think the thing to do is you have to recognize, and that's where the government comes into play, is to say, this needs to be allowed to be broken. And the government has to be a good referee and a safety net, and that's where they have to catch everybody that's in between industries. Like, all right, everybody in the steel industry, you all lost your jobs, and you're making great jobs, but don't worry, because we have this safety net here. We gave you some unemployment benefits. We'll give you some learning credits. We'll put you through school again. We'll give you the shit and not force you to go to DeVry or some shady operation. Let's go through these right here and see if we can get this turned around. You know what I mean? And ideally, they'd be working with some industries like, you know, these tech companies that are like, we need more guys that know some shit. And so they said, did you get recently fired from fucking, you know, steel company incorporated? Come work for us. There's a training program. You know what I mean? And we'll all be hand in hand. So nobody really takes a big hit, maybe a little setback. We'll all be fine, you know? The new company gets the workers they need. The former steel workers don't have to just feel like they're left out on their own to just go it alone and, hey, pull themselves up by their bootstraps. Right. They don't have to do that, you know, even though they want everybody else to do that. They don't have to do it. They can, somebody can help them. Like, all I've been doing is putting TVs together, and now China's taking my job. What do I do? Well, now, good things, the government's going to help you out. It's not a handout. It's, you know, it's a safety net. It's supposed to be what it's for. So, yeah, I think that's the answer. That's the answer to all that is, this should be the government's job, is to be a referee and pad to some of the sharper edges. Otherwise, people are going to get crushed and be homeless. And then you're like, well, eventually they'll die, and then we'll be fine. You know? A big plague will come and take us all away once we fucking killed ourselves for a little bit. Otherwise, that's the answer.
Yeah, I thought it was a good article, though, about cost creep. I thought, I mean, it just was good to think about. I don't think it, like, gave me any revelations.
Yeah.
About healthcare, I think he touched on this, was that a lot of the cost growth and that specifically, I think, is because of legal problems.
Yes.
And I very much can attest to that. I mean, there are a lot of times where, like, I explicitly do not make recommendations for, like, a sick kid that I know will help that kid and in all likelihood keep that kid out of the emergency room that night. because if the parent fucks it up and the kid dies, I'm going to go to jail or get sued or lose my license.
So, yeah, that reminds me of another tweet I saw. Somebody said, hey, if you really want to make America like it was in the 50s and 60s, then you will live on approximately like half your income. You will have like a 1,500 square foot house at max. You'll have like 4 or 5 kids each. I mean, like they all share rooms. You won't have a TV or maybe just one TV. You'll maybe take one vacation every 2 or 3 years. You'll eat at home 6 nights, 7 nights out of the week. You know what I mean? Like, you won't use any AC. And it turns out, like, that's really what it is. Like, some of the reason that you have we have such our budgets are strained is because we have a lot of comforts, you know? Get the NBA package. They didn't have the NBA package in 1961.
Technology.
technology.
I'm taking all these jobs.
With my folks right now, trying to show them how they can cut back on, save $200 a month by
switching to Geico,
not having 14,000 channels, of which they only watch 4.
Yeah,
it turns out all those channels, like, nobody ever watches
them. Oh, yeah. My dad is that. I'm like, you can just get Sling TV. They have a Fox and you could just watch Fox News. That's all you want to watch. It's fine.
Yeah, they're paying for my grandmother $200 and some a month for her to watch Fox News all day.
Yeah.
It blows my mind, man.
And she, I mean, I'm not saying your grandmother
remember.
Yeah, like, just fucking record it on an old VHS.
Or replay the same show every day.
10 different tapes. Pop that shit in. Switch it out every couple days. You'd be fine.
Probably could do that.
Yeah. It's a lot of that shit. I was thinking about that at the library again. I was like, man, we have a lot of shit. All these entertainment options. Like, the library is fucking free. They got free books. They're just like, return the book,
just please. Read, please.
Just bring it back to us, if you could. And even then, you just come in here. If you can't, just come in and read it. And you just leave it there, and then come back tomorrow and finish reading it. It's right here. We'll leave it right here for you. It'll be you and the homeless guy that comes in here every day. You know? Y'all just hang out. You just read. You can read to him if you want. All the they got the media there. They got internet there. It's like, God, we really don't use the library as often. Like, to its full extent.
I love and the library has definitely been something I've gotten into since I had kids. But I love the library, and I love going to different libraries too. Like, there's one of the libraries up here has fucking fishing poles.
To do what? They have
you
a pond.
You can go in. Yeah, they got a little lake. They got a little creek that runs back behind it. You go in, rent yourself a fishing pole, go out there, catch dinner.
What?
That's pretty cool.
I know, it's crazy.
Fucking Arkansas for you there.
I know. No, you get an Arkansas library? Fishing pole.
Catch a fish.
Yeah. I mean, goodness. Like, you literally can learn how to fish there. So that you read the book. It's like, all right.
Teach a man to fish.
You put the you put the pole in the water, turns out. I was doing it wrong. I
You're
get
right,
it
man.
Now.
Library is great.
I was just trying to poke his face from outside.
That goes with the whole concept that we should just own everything. Like, we shouldn't need to go borrow or go somewhere else to seek things out. We should just own it. I should just have my own library.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's the thing, is that, like, there's a lot of books we haven't. I don't know. Some of it's convenience, and I think there's a right balance there, because I think the convenience of reaching back and grabbing a book. Because, like, you know, if you're at night, you have no shelves, and you're like, well, can't go to the library. I'm stuck here. Guess I'll have to talk to my family. God. Del, speaking of talking to people, this 300, it's not, that was a terrible segue. This thing on Deadspin, the 300-year journey from classical standard to gay, disco, whatever.
Yeah.
I thought you'd maybe like it, since you liked the,
Turns out he didn't.
Yeah, it turns out you didn't. I was a big Village People fan, so I was like, you know.
I thought it was a bit mildly interesting.
Yeah. Well, tell me how it was wrong. That's what I like to hear. That's the good shit.
How the article was wrong?
Yeah.
So the one paragraph about the actual original piece by Pachelbel Bell that starts in 1680,
yeah,
after the three stars, pretty much every sentence is incorrect. Pretty much every. We'll see. Three part classical arrangement. It's not three part classical. It's not. It's not a classical. It's Baroque. It's not for violin. It's for three violins. It's not in a waltz style called a gigue. It's in four. It's called a canon. And he does say that right after that, title canon and D. But it's not called canon and D. It was just called canon or canon for three violins and counter and basso continuo. Four parts there. Three violins and a keyboard.
Yeah, he called it like a genre of Baroque. So I guess, I don't know, is he just kind of saying it's a classical, like, I mean, I don't know.
Also, the entire genre, Baroque is not a genre as much as it is a stylistic period or an era or an epoch. And the genre of Baroque did not fall out of style shortly after Pachelbel's death. It lasted for 50 years longer after that when Bach died.
Was it mostly forgotten, though?
So, yeah, every sentence is wrong. Every sentence is incorrect. It was popular, like, it was like, again, amongst European nobility, probably not European nobility, probably whoever he wrote it specifically for, they heard it. And it was played once, maybe twice, and probably not played again, period, because that's how the music was in that time. It was like you didn't have recordings of it. And so people would write a piece of music and it would get performed once and then it would go away. Like, and, but yeah, okay. It disappeared until somebody else discovered it later, you know, in the early 1900s.
But, so yeah. I guess what I can't hear is the, like, what part of this is in the actual music.
Right. Hear? That's the other thing that he keeps on referring to the melody, is borrows the melody and all this other stuff. But really what it is the chord progression. The bass line, if you listen to the bass line, yeah, it's the same bass line in all these songs.
Okay. Because I was like, because it doesn't have the part like, I was like, I don't hear that anywhere. I don't really know what you're talking about.
So. Yeah, it's really not, melodically, it's really not that close to it. Actually, the closest thing to the melody is a praise song from like the 70s.
Sweet.
Called Give Thanks with a Grateful Heart.
Sweet.
That's the closest, melodically the closest. But it's this harmonic progression that I suppose Pachelbel probably was the first one, or the one who kind of canonized it, haha. But it's just a harmonic progression, just like every pop song goes 1-5-4 or whatever, or every blues song, you know, has a form that goes 1-1-1-1-4-4-4-4-1-1-1-1-5-5-5-4-4-4-1. Like, it's the same sort of idea. So he took this ground bass harmony and composed melody over it. And the way he composed a melody over it is interesting in the counterpoint, but then what everybody else does when they attribute it to canon and D is they just take the same bass line, the same chord progression.
Hmm. Yeah, that was good. I figured you'd be able to solve that for me, because that's what I was waiting to hear. I was like, I don't know enough about this, and I don't even know any words, music words, to really... That don't sound like that. And I was like...
So you can't listen to the surface. You got to listen to the background, like what the bass is doing and how the chords are changing. That's it.
Yeah, because I was like, I was kind of expecting to be like, oh, yeah, it is kind of the same song. I was like, I don't fucking hear it, man. Brad, did you hear any of it?
Yeah, I feel like you can feel it, though. Not as much.
We also established that Adam doesn't have an ear.
No, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I could tell. I was expecting something to be more obvious is what I was.
Yeah.
Like, I was like.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever, Van Gogh.
Layman.
Suck.
No fucking ear having a bitch.
Thanks, Del. You're the only one that I wanted to talk to about that. Anyway, these clowns are a couple of clowns.
Yeah, I feel like you can feel it. It was interesting. What was interesting was the intersection of like the Village People with the Pet Shop Boys and the evolution what they were saying, what they were trying to say with their words,
yeah,
and using this, and maybe the ubiquity of the chord progression, coming to mean and symbolize all these different things in the way that it's able to do that. That was kind of interesting, but
Like I said, yeah. I mean, I was listening to the song and I was like, yeah, it doesn't jump out at you, and I kind of see what they're saying. I understood all of it, and I like, you know, you're saying you can kind of tell that they're similar, but I thought they were, you know, it was like the melody, the one catchy part. I was like, I don't know. I didn't see it. Now you heard it. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying now, like,
you heard it all along.
He called it an earworm. I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not very catchy. It's not really an earworm to me. So I don't know. That's why I was like, I didn't really get that. What were you saying, though?
No, I agree with you. It wasn't really.
Yeah. It's like what he was saying about it, I was expecting something different, and I wasn't getting it.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay. Genius keeps looking at me. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to ask her another question and make her just stall and feel uncomfortable again. I'm gonna
okay,
do.
You're good at that.
Gina, why don't you tell me about stuff that you should know? Ready, go.
Stuff that I should know? What should I know?
I don't know.
Tons of stuff.
I fed your infant daughter.
Yeah, how'd that go?
It went well.
You know the fucking cutest thing that she's done recently? She's doing this right here. She's doing that, right?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, I did it back to her, and then she's like, oh, sweet. She does it. And then I did, like, that to her. Like, uh-huh. And then she did it to me. And it's the cutest fucking thing because, like, the next day,
she
I was
knows.
Like, hey, I did it. And she goes, she looks at me, and
she
then
remembers.
She starts doing it. She's like, oh, yeah. I forgot to know how to do that. And it is the cutest thing. I'm like, how does she know? That's so lame. So fucking lame.
Great story,
it
Dad.
It is. It's lame as shit. I mean, you don't want to like tell that story at dinner parties or anything. No. But it's one of those things as
a
parent
that
like, Yeah, it's a brain worm is what it is.
Yeah, it's funny
it gets,
to watch
I mean, shit like that happens, and you can't get it out of your mind.
Yeah. You know how people always say it's you know, kids kind of remind you of being young or whatever. Things they like about it. I think what's cool about kids, and like even my nephew's the same way like that, is like I remember what it was like to be young and like learn shit. And I remember some things that I thought were cool. And I know this is just humans doing this, like passing on stuff, and we enjoy it partly because it does help the species continue. Anyways, it's cool. It's cool watching her learn shit. Who's playing something?
Dough.
Kitchen's being cleaned up.
Oh. I was like, what? I hear water? what else do you guys want to talk about as we wrap up the show in like the next 10 minutes? Gina?
Well, you know what? I didn't select a movie yet, but I know you mentioned one to me. Were you thinking about that movie for this month? Or do I have time to...
Maybe. Hold on. Del, can you turn off the waterfall for a second?
Is it water? There's no water.
I don't know. I just hear like a hiss.
It sounds like static
to me. I don't hear the hiss.
Yeah. So now that we figured out that it was all Del's fault. It was not.
Turn off your water, Del.
Gina, you were going to pick a movie? You didn't pick a movie.
Right. And I thought you had suggested one, but then I found out... offline that
no I saw like one of these movie blogs that I follow, they recommended The Void. Have you guys heard of this movie?
That does sound familiar,
but apparently it's supposed to be really good.
So
really good.
When we next meet, it'll be March.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know
what,
y'all.
Do you guys want to
what
take
kind
a
of
movie
are
movie?
You in the mood for
movie in March? Spring movie?
I mean, I can pick a movie.
Last time Del picked a movie, it was a 5-hour movie.
Yeah, I would just like to keep it 3 hours or less. All right, deal.
Is it easier for you to watch movies now, Brad, that you live in Arkansas and there's nothing to do there?
Any genre except preferences?
Fish at the library. No,
yeah. I mean, no. It is easier for me to watch movies, though, because I have a lot of time at work.
So much time now.
But do you have a genre preference?
You have a genre preference. Do you want the Baroque?
Yes, yes. I want downloadable from Netflix or Amazon Prime.
Okay. I'm starting there.
All right. So we'll get back to you on that one. We'll post in the link, I guess. Del, do you have any? I mean, we could make Brad and Del pick a movie. We'll make them do some work for the show, you know?
That's fine. I'll do that shit. I'll put it, yeah. All
right. Brad's turn to pick.
Let's do one. We have two shows in March. Brad, you picked the first, the one coming up for the early, was it March 1st, whatever, that we're going to record?
Yeah.
It'll be a three-show month.
All right. And well, then Del will pick for the second week.
All right.
And then Jeannie can pick for the third. And we talk about it. We have to watch these, or else you're going to disrespect Del's time.
Yeah.
And Del does not like to be disrespected. He was just saying that he has to get up early every morning, 6:30 a.m.
Every day.
Every day. It's a hard grind for this guy.
Yeah.
We didn't do it this week in the fall of Western civilization, but what do you guys think about this?
Falling.
Firing this fucking Flynn dude, right? Talking to Russia. Guy can't make a long distance call to Russia, huh? Can't call up his friend Putin?
I feel like that's just the tip of that iceberg. No shit. It was just a fall guy.
What's up, Vladdy? Like, oh shit. Somebody's listening.
Yeah.
It all seems pretty terrible still. I'm a little less freaked out about it as I once was, but only a little bit, just because like some progress is made. It's still pretty terrible that even Libertarian Hero was like, I mean, we're not going to make any progress if Republicans are investigating Republicans here, you know? I'm like, God.
Yeah.
This dude just out here saying it. He's just out here saying exactly what we fear. Like, hey, how about you guys do your job? And then secondary, you could be a little biased. Little team GOP out there. Or the other way.
Right.
Be a Democrat, you know. Govern first. Yeah. Try to get elected second. Or be team Democrat second.
Yeah, it is pretty like ridiculous though. When you think about the fact that if the shoe was on the other foot, if the Democrat had gotten elected and was doing so because of intervention by another country, the Tea Party people would have shut down the fucking government.
Yeah, they did shut down the government anyway. For lesser reasons. So, yeah, I totally believe you. Good times, guys. Good times. Do you guys wake up and read Donald Trump's tweets every day? I mostly read other people's tweets about Donald Trump's tweets. I don't follow the guy.
I avoid all that business.
That's good.
I was really thrilled to see that Twitter stock is down 12%. Which I thought with him being like a huge Twitter fan, it would be up, but that's sort of pleasant for me to hear.
There's still no way to make money on Twitter, so that was always going to be the case no matter what. It's like, how do you make money on Twitter? Like, how does Twitter make money?
It isn't charging ads interface.
That's it. And those are they're not bringing as much revenue as they thought they were going to. Because why? Everybody hates those things. Like, oh, get out of here, promoted tweet.
Yep.
Yeah.
I hate when I catch myself reading one, and I'm like, oh, really? I'm like, wait a minute. Yeah. This isn't real.
This isn't
Force that in my face.
Did you guys read, this is just fodder at the end, filling time. Did you read the thing about music and why classic rock doesn't play classic rock anymore?
What?
I scanned.
What thing?
All right, so I posted a link. It's on 538 from 2014. So you had plenty of time to read this. 3 years.
It's been on our link for 3 years.
No. But essentially they say they just use algorithms and different locations, like San Antonio, for example, plays a lot more hard rock, like harder stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think you can get that. We like a lot of chill like that. In other places they like more Billy Joel, New Jersey, turns out, for a fucking reason. And so when you say classic rock, it means different things to different people. Here, actually, it means more Motley Crue than it does elsewhere.
Huh. But is all the music that's classic of the same period?
Sort of. They said that the way they figure out most genres is actually really sophisticated. They pick, they find out, like, they have a machine listen to it, basically, right? It analyzes the beats per minute, whether or not the beat is played by a human or a machine. There's, like, slight imperfections in humans, except for Dell, because Dell's perfect. And so they kind of, like, all right, if you like this one, you'll probably like this other one. This one's also played by a machine and has, you know, 74 beats per minute and is acoustic or whatever the hell. Like, they just kind of they put all those
together.
That
was the whole Pandora project. That was what Pandora was created to do.
Yeah, I know. So, but they said classic rock is a little different because it doesn't really have the same thing. It's more loose. And they basically just pick Led Zeppelin, and then they build around there. Like, every classic rock has Led Zeppelin in the middle. They say Led Zeppelin and these other bands. And in New Jersey, it means it's more Billy Joel. In San Antonio, it means more Motley Crue. And other places, they're just like
Led Zeppelin.
They're like, what else do people in this area like?
It's British.
And they just pick something. Something else.
So, like, the Venn diagram just at the center has Led Zeppelin.
Yeah, that's how they started all the shit. They're like, all right, Led Zeppelin and Steely Dan. Led Zeppelin and Metallica. Like, it just...
Cranberries. Yeah. George Thurgood.
And it was funny, because at work, right after I said this, somebody just, like, they go, often some people will be like, I don't listen to that, because it doesn't play classic rock. And then a guy back there's like, they were playing whatever, and that's not classic rock. And I was like, well, fucking, yeah. Here it is right here, this guy.
But
yeah.
I mean, if this stuff all comes from the same period.
Sort of.
Then it's classic, right?
Like, what is the period, though?
I don't know.
Why do people listen to the radio anymore? That's a better question. Shit.
Why don't they?
Why do they listen to the radio? Why do they go look for a station called Classic Rock?
Because sometimes they drive their old car and it doesn't have satellite radio.
Yeah.
So... They listen to
the stuff on your phone.
Get the cassette Kiss.
Tape with the aux port on it.
Yeah, we have that.
Today I listened to Kona 101.
But you just get it.
To and fro from work. One, I don't know, Gina put it on Kona 101, I guess.
I like the oldies station.
Yeah, and so I got it and I was like, fuck, I was already driving. And
you know what? Oldies here are different than oldies up in Dallas. I was already driving.
Like, I was...
But they're all from the same period.
Sort of. That's what I'm saying. Led Zeppelin is 70s. Motley Crue is 80s. And some of it is like early 90s. You know what I mean? Like,
if it's more than 20 years ago, it's classic. I like
listening to talk radio.
Yeah.
I think that's the threshold. And we've seen that. You've seen that over your life. Like, something, once it hits about 20 years old, it pops up on the classic rock station.
But it's at what point does oldies end and classic begin? And I think it's really just 70s rock. It's Led Zeppelin. It really is that. That's why it all starts at Led Zeppelin. That's why it starts there. And it's like Led Zeppelin. And then they grab a couple other bands just based on what people like. You're like,
I don't even listen to the radio at all when I drive anywhere.
Yeah.
Silence.
See, we do that sometimes too.
Yeah, Gina and I don't do that, and I feel
when
like
other
people
get
weird.
Worded out. Yeah, if we have someone else in our
like,
car,
you, like my mom was like, "You turn on the radio?"
I don't at all.
We just like to listen to ourselves breathe.
I like public radio because over here it's either good talk radio, it's like the news, or like depending on what time of day, they have like Fishing. Local artists who will play shows like for them on public radio.
It's cool.
And even if I don't like them, I feel like just good exposure.
Yeah.
Supporting the arts.
There is value in like the local stuff, but man, I can't read all the local stuff. I don't like the local alt magazine. I don't even like reading the San Antonio Express News. It's just so generic. There's like two articles in there that are worth anything.
Yeah.
Turning so old. So terrible.
You are terrible.
Fucking terrible. Anyways, Tune in a couple weeks where we have more terrible and we ramble on about some other shit that you'll definitely enjoy, just like you did this one. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for listening to the Deranged Penguin Podcast. Next week will be nothing. It'll be me by myself again.
Why'd you show up again?
Following week, we might move the day, and that's me being selfish. And I'll own it.
Will you?
Yeah, it's on me.
Good for you.
So who wants to do our parting words today?
See ya.
Gina. See Gina.
Parting words.
Parting words.
Well, guys.
You're trying to be like that old cowboy dude on Last Week Tonight?
No, I wasn't. I was trying to say something profound. God. Jeez. We're almost 2 months into the year. So think about that the next time you write the date.